Hi everyone, I'm Elizabeth Stein, founder and CEO of Purely Elizabeth, and this is Live Purely with Elizabeth, featuring candid conversations about how to thrive on your wellness journey. This week's guests are brother-sister duo Mike and Angie Lee, founders of Soul CBD and Out of Office. Mike is a world-ranked professional boxer who has fought in some of the world's most iconic arenas like Madison Square Garden, Cowboy Stadium, and the MGM Grand in front of millions of fans. In 2014, Mike was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease that almost ended his career and led him to discover CBD. Angie is a vivacious marketing maven who's found her soul's calling in helping women kick ass. She's a highly sought-after marketing mentor, keynote speaker, podcaster, and serial entrepreneur. In this episode, we talk about Mike and Angie's wellness journeys that led to starting the brand. Mike and Angie share all about having grit and taking risks, the impact on stress and health, the importance of calming the nervous system, the benefits of CBD for sleep, anxiety, and stress, and the role of a positive mindset and finding balance in their lives. This was such a fun episode. Keep listening to learn more. And to try their products, use code ELIZABETH30 for 30% off at GetSoul.com. Enjoy. I have some super exciting news, Purely fans. I am so thrilled to announce that our newest product line of cookie granola is finally here. We've created a one-of-a-kind recipe where a delicious cookie meets our wholesome granola. It's made with organic gluten-free oats and coconut flour, 100% whole grains, baked with coconut oil and almond butter, and only 6 grams of sugar. These snackable granola clusters have all of the flavor and crispness of your favorite cookie recipe, but in an indulgence you can feel good about. It comes in 3 flavors to obsess over: chocolate chip, double chocolate, and my personal favorite, oatmeal raisin. Find our cookie granolas at Walmart, Whole Foods, Publix, and on our website at purelyelizabeth.com. To find a store near you, use the link below in the show notes. I hope you're as obsessed with this new product as I am. Enjoy. Mike and Angie, welcome to the podcast. So excited to have my first brother-sister duo on. We've had some brothers, but never brother-sister. So welcome.
Thank you. Hopefully we won't start fighting for the podcast.
Never disappoints. So I know that you both have personal wellness journeys that really led you to start Soul, and would love to really begin with that foundation for both of you. And Mike, if you want to start first on your wellness journey and what inspired eventually getting into the business.
Yeah. So I guess I'll try to make a long story somewhat.
Keep it long.
I guess we got time. So I started boxing at a very young age, about 8 years old, and playing a million different sports. And I always wanted to be an athlete. I just didn't know what direction it would take. And I ended up getting better and better in boxing. And
what made you even get into boxing when you were 8? Was that?
Some people call it child abuse now, but my dad basically threw me in a ring.
Was he a boxer?
He wasn't a boxer. He played minor league baseball and then professional racquetball. He was always an athlete, but He was like inner city, kind of like Italian and Irish, inner city Chicago type of guy. So we grew up a little bit different than a lot of.
Beat up people, but it wasn't professionally, is what Mike is trying to tell you. He beat up people.
Okay, so it's in your blood.
Yeah, I'm trying to be.
He didn't have gloves on, but he was a boxer, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Got it.
Mine was legal and I got paid. He might have been paid, but who knows? But yeah, he brought me to a gym at a young age. So I was sparring pros before I even had my driver's license. Like it was one of those things that just like started taking off. And it was half I loved it and half I was scared to death and also didn't want to disappoint my dad. And so it ended up blossoming into this pretty wild career. I got signed at 21 years old by Top Rank and turned pro. And next thing you know, I was fighting in Madison Square Garden and Cowboy Stadium. And I finished my career with 22 pro fights. And my last fight, I fought at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for a huge world title. And I finished my career 21-1. So needless to say, I knew there'd be up and downs. And my goal was always to become a champion. But Little did I know what it would kind of take through me physically, mentally, and emotionally. And so during that process, I dealt with so much pain. I was at one point kind of addicted to painkillers and on a bunch of different medications. My body really started shutting down. I started having a lot of autoimmune issues, a lot of concussion issues, and probably should have retired earlier than I did, but ended up gutting it out and staying in it, maybe for the wrong reasons, but finished my career and retired in 2019 and just been working on healing ever since. But my journey through going to so many different doctors and at one point being in a hospital for like 12 days straight, Angie was there by my side, and my autoimmune conditions, just like my immune system shutting down, the concussions, so many issues.
What was your autoimmune?
Yeah, I got diagnosed with Lyme disease and then with ankylosing spondylitis, and I had Epstein-Barr as well. And so with a lot of people that have autoimmunity, it tends to trickle into, you know, mold and heavy metals and whatnot. And so it's a vicious cycle. Yeah. But it took me a long time to really start to get healthy. And still to this day, I still battle with things. You know, it's two steps forward, one step back. But the main thing for me was like stress and anxiety and all these different things started exacerbating and making symptoms worse. And so I discovered CBD, I think in like 2016, and started telling Angie about it. And about a year before I retired, we started Soul, and it started as a little side project. It started in one of Angie's spare bedrooms. And we were like, we love this stuff. We think it's incredible. There's no toxicity. It helps across so many different levels of health. So let's spread the word. And we both had our own kind of careers at the time. And little did we know it would start to kind of take off the way it did and give me at least something to jump into that I was passionate about after retiring.
Wow. All right. Well, we're going to come back to more of that beginning stuff for Angie. So to start off, what was it like watching your brother box?
I love how this is, everybody likes asking this. It's so funny.
Because I'd be so nervous.
That is, you know, it's a really good question. That's a really good question. It's so funny because I assume that people wouldn't want to, like that wouldn't be interesting, but it is really interesting to see, to wonder how, you know, somebody who's in the family watching that person do that thing. That's such a weird job, right? Like nobody else is like going to watch their brother do that. You know, their brother's like an accountant, you know, they're not like watching their brother be punched in the face or punching people
at MGM, so, you know, that experience must have been so wild for you, for both of you, but.
Yeah, I think I'm somebody who I don't do well with violence. So I think for me, even though I know that these two men decided to voluntarily do this and this is their job, I think it's just still really weird for the mind to be watching that, especially when it is someone that you love. And so I couldn't really watch, but I would watch it on the screen that was right there. So I've seen Mike fight in person, like in glimpses, but I've actually never fully like stared at the whole thing because it felt like I was watching like a, you know, like the part of the movie that you just, you're like, I can't look. Just tell me what happens, you know?
That's wild.
I wish I could say different, but emotionally, I didn't know how to stare at something that I'm like, oh my gosh, what if this, you know, cause I'm not in control at all, obviously. And so he's obviously fine, probably better in there than I believe he is, but like, I'm not in control. So it's like this scary feeling of how do you watch that? So very, very difficult. Very difficult.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. So at this time, Mike had discovered CBD. Was this something that you had experienced? And what were you doing in your career as this was starting to unfold?
Yeah, when we started Soul, well, when we first started talking about CBD, I was actually still in Chicago. And then I had just moved to LA. And yeah, we had come up with this idea because we were both using it. I was loving CBD for anxiety. I was using it for painful periods. And I found that that was better than taking Midol. And so I was using it topically and then ingesting it for period pain. And that's when we came together and we were like, should we make this a business? And so, yeah, that's when I had dropped out of college. I had started a blog and I'd started building my online wellness brand. And so I was already talking about wellness with my audience, but I had yet to really bring in products yet or CBD. So yeah, that's where it all began.
Love it. All right. So Mike, I'm curious to hear, as you were going through this part of your life, which sounds like there's probably so many ups and downs to it, how you were navigating and those like super challenging times, and thinking about, you know, as you parlay that to now having a business today, like what are those big learnings that you had of how do you deal with challenge?
Yeah. I was just talking to a friend about this the other day that, like, now that I've retired and kind of sat back and thought about it, things are moving so fast while you're in those times that you don't really have true time to reflect on it. But I think what it boils down to is the one thing that boxing taught me is grit. That word is so important to me because so often in our lives, we fall down and it's up to us to get back up. And for me, sometimes that was literally getting knocked down to the point where I can't even feel my legs in front of 20,000 people or a million on TV. And how do I have the resolve and grit to get back up? And so I did that so many times throughout my career. Many fights, I got knocked down, I got back up, I won. And now through my health battle, days and moments when I get knocked down and I feel like I don't want to get back up, and I do. And days with the business where, you know, running a business, it's like you're putting out fires and one day you're on top of the world, the next day you got to let somebody go.
And it's probably the same day that you're on top of the mountain and then you're at the bottom.
That's it, right? And so I think that the main thing that boxing taught me that I can now teach my son one day and just continue to remind myself is that grit and the resolve to kind of, you know, get back up when you get punched. And it sounds corny and cliche, but it's really only when you go through those moments and you test yourself in any element. It doesn't have to be in a ring in front of a bunch of people. It can be in anything that scares you. But it's in those moments when you get knocked down that you find out what you're made of. And so I think that that's one of the main things that boxing taught me is that I am strong enough. And I think, honestly, it saved my life in moments when I was depressed or had anxiety or had some really dark, dark times, especially with concussions. And always leaning back on that grit and, like, you got up before, you can get up again, is something I keep telling myself.
Yeah, it's an amazing lesson. I think it's once you've proven to yourself that you can do hard things, you know, you can keep doing those hard things and pushing yourself kind of out of your comfort zone. Do you think that that is how you were born, or is that something that you learned along the way?
Yeah, that's another great question. I think there's definitely an element to it that you're born with, right? There's an innate ability there, without a doubt. But I think a lot of that is learned. And a lot of that is learned through experiences and through failures. You know, even Angie, you know, Angie's spoken on stages in front of thousands of people. And I've been backstage and seen her, like, very nervous. But then when she gets on stage, she kills it. And so I've seen her, like, overcome these, you know, I'm so nervous, I'm going to puke or poop my pants. Like, that's
usually pooping.
Overcoming it. I think that, like, as much internal innate, maybe ability you have, or even genetics when it comes to, like, you know, sports, a lot of that is learned and practiced through failure, getting back up, failure, adjustment. And so I think most of it is learned, is long answer to your question.
And Angie, for you, what tips do you think that you could share? Because while it is learned, it's, like, really hard for people to get to that space to begin with. You know, there's the fear, the whatever, you feel like you're going to puke or poop or whatever it is. So any tips just to even, like, get yourself to that starting block and get over that initial hump to even try the thing that might be on your list to get out of that comfort zone?
Do you mean speaking specifically?
Or like whatever for you, it's speaking, but whatever it is in someone's life.
Yeah, I mean, definitely don't eat your cereal before you go on stage, because your cereal is high fiber. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So don't do that. Eat your cereal after you go on stage. You know, it's interesting. I feel like I'm constantly still working on this. I think that is the reality of it, is I think for me, it's knowing that every time you do it, you build that muscle, you build that courage muscle. And I think courage is a muscle just like any other muscle, like Mike said, when you're physically using it. So when it comes to, I'm thinking of, like, when I speak on stage, I feel like it's the same cycle over and over. Like, who am I to do this? Imposter syndrome hits in, fear hits in. What if I fall? What if I fail? What if they hate it? All the what ifs. And then you get up there, and then I love it because it feels, like, so at home for me. It's like a flow state. And it's almost like I have to remind myself that I'm not going to die. Like, nothing's truly, like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? What's truly the worst thing that's going to happen? I'm a face plant on stage. Everyone's going to boo me off. Like, that's, like, you suck. Like, that's rough. Like, that's probably not going to happen, you know? So Sometimes that honestly helps me, is thinking, what is the absolute worst case scenario? Like, and just go there and just play it out. Like, all right, here we go. You're going to get up there. Your pants are going to fall down. You're going to face plant. Everyone's going to say you suck. Like, all right, you still want to go try? Like, you still want to go see what happens? So I think it's a little bit of a dopamine thing for me too. Having ADHD, I kind of like to do some things that scare me a little bit, because I find that's what life's about and it's enjoyable. But yeah, I think you have to remind yourself that the thing that you think is going to happen is probably not going to happen. And you're probably already in your worst case scenario a lot of times if you don't take the risk. So you're already living out the worst case scenario. So you might as well take the risk. I hear this a lot with a lot of my audiences, women who want to try entrepreneurship. And they'll say, oh, I'm at this job that I hate. I've been at it for years. And I'll say, could you go back? Like, if you left, could you go back?
Yeah.
They say, yeah, of course I could just go back. And I'm like, well, you're literally already in it. You're in the worst case scenario you could be in. So what are you afraid of? You might as well go try it. And then you could always go back if they would take you back. So I think a lot of times in life, we don't realize we're already living the worst. So we might as well try it out. And I assume with your business too, you felt that, where it's like, I might as well try this out. And then you could always go back to what you were doing. So,
yeah, I love that tip. I think that's such a great way to frame it up, of like, what is the worst thing that can happen? You're probably living it already, and kind of just saying yes, and then figuring out how you're going to do it. It's like you say yes to the talk, and then you figure out how it's all going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also something I've been thinking about a lot lately too, is like focusing on your strengths, right? I think a lot of times we're trying to do things that aren't really for us. And so we feel that resistance. But I do think that the things that you are here to do, not saying they won't come with challenges, but it will make sense. I think that they will make sense to you. So I don't know if you've ever felt that in your business, but like those moments of flow state, they should kind of make sense to you. So I think a lot of times we're nervous to try out things, but the only way to find those things that we're here to do, or those gifts that we're here to share, is to actually try. So
yeah. And it's usually that place of being out of your comfort zone that you do find that flow state. That's certainly how I felt about the business. It's like, okay, everything is now aligned, and this may have been uncomfortable at first, but now it's all making sense and where I'm meant to be. So for you guys, so you have this idea about Soul, and then what happens after this idea? And I guess how tell me a little bit about how you were both using CBD, because I do want to talk about how there's so many different uses of it. And I think there's still like confusion around CBD versus THC and all of that stuff. So we'd love to hear a little bit about first, like how you guys are using it, and then what happens after the idea.
Yeah, for sure. And happy to dive in kind of more specifics, because it can be confusing. Like you said, I was using it in tinctures. So the oil drop forms, we found that is one of the most efficacious ways. It's definitely, you know, people enjoy gummies or capsules because it's just much more familiar. But putting the tincture dropper underneath your tongue for about 30 to 60 seconds, it accesses the blood-brain barrier faster. So it's just more bioavailable. So I started using it like that. And the main reason I started using it was to help me get off anti-anxiety medication and just all the stress that I was under. I finally got to a point where I was fighting for these huge title fights, and I had all these obligations, and I was just freaking out. And maybe it was my immune system as well, and I just couldn't handle the stress. And so I was constantly looking for solutions that was not another pill. You know, I think that medications serve its time and purpose, and I've been on them and on and off of certain ones for certain needs. But I truly believe that you need to get to the root cause of things. So for me, I was using it as a tincture a lot. And then we started diving into, okay, what dosage works for me? Because that's very dependent on people as well. And us as a company now, it's tough when, you know, unlike a prescription where you say, take one, you know, wait this many hours, CBD is one of those things, like many, many things in the supplement industry, that it depends on, you know, body fat composition, what you ate that day, the stress level, so many things. So we always say kind of start low, which is usually around 25 milligrams, and kind of work your way up. I'm taking over 100 milligrams a day, but I'm over 200 pounds. I'm about 200, maybe 10 pounds or something. So there's a lot of different factors that go into that. But long story short, I started noticing it just kind of helped me calm down. It helped me like breathe a little bit. And what I noticed the most was the days I didn't take it, I actually noticed more than the days I took. And what I mean by that is, like, all of a sudden I would go 4 or 5 days and I would be on it and I feel good. And then I would forget to take it for a day or two, and all this anxiety and stress would hop up in me. And I was like, what's going on today? It's so different. And I would realize, oh, I didn't take it. So that's kind of initially how I first discovered it and fell in love with it.
And after how much time did you notice that it really started to work for you?
I would say within 3 to 5 days. Wow. You know, it's interesting. Some people will notice effects, especially with THC and other cannabinoids outside of just CBD, but they'll notice effects within, you know, 45 minutes to an hour where it gets in your system. Other people, it takes time to build up in your system. I was one of those. And so within 3 to 5 days, I was like, man, I don't know if this is placebo or not, but I feel great. I feel better. So let's run with it. Like, let's keep doing it. And that was kind of the beginning. And then we really got into the science and the formulations and everything.
It's amazing. Did you ever get to the root of some of the autoimmune stuff? Getting to root cause?
100%. I found out that I was misdiagnosed. I don't have ankylosing spondylitis, and I was stabbing myself with TNF blocker and methotrexate, this thing called Humira, for years and years that I shouldn't have been doing. So I ended up getting off that. We ended up finding out that it wasn't as much of ankylosing spondylitis or Epstein-Barr, but a lot of mold issues, a lot of concussion issues, and then a lot of like stress and inflammation that came from my gut. The brain gut is connected. And so I had a lot of leaky gut. So really dialing in on like gut protocol was massive for me. And then really dialing in on concussion protocol was huge. And then anything like anti-inflammatory. So, you know, I just wasn't able to do that with the Humira because it was like suppressing my immune system, which is what it's built to do. But then I was just getting sick all the time. So once again,
it's a cycle.
It could be something that's great for other people, but I was misdiagnosed by one of the best rheumatologists in the country and unfortunately had to suffer years and years. So anyway, still working on it though. I'm not 100%. And I think it's constantly just that battle of, you know, a couple steps forward and then one back and et cetera.
What were some of the things you did for your gut protocol, and are you still working on that?
Absolutely still working on that. For a while, I was doing a lot of antihistamine stuff. So whether it was like a histamine DAO blocker, that was really important for me because all these different things came up. I did a handful of diets. First of all, gluten-free, dairy-free was really important for me. I'm not celiac, but I do think that people are gluten intolerant. So
yep.
One of the main reasons why we've absolutely loved your brand and like wanted to turn towards something that was healthy, because you know better than me, but it's like most stuff out there just tastes awful. And you get into this point where you're like, oh my God, well, I'm just going to eat cardboard for the rest of my life. So
it was pretty sad.
it's sad, right? So the gluten-free, dairy-free was really important for me. And then clean ingredients was massively important. Staying away from canola oil and all these oils that most restaurants cook in, and sticking with just like whole plant-based foods. You know, the AIP elimination diet was a big one for me. And so, yeah, it's constantly kind of like playing with it, but I've educated myself so much on this now to where, I'm be honest, I would walk into a gastro appointment and talk to a doctor and tell them all my symptoms and everything that was going on. And they'd tell me, have you tried GasX?
Oh God.
For God, this happened like not very long ago, right? It's like, I just almost walked out. I was like, I don't know what to say to you anymore. Like, you're not even getting to you didn't even ask me what I'm eating, you know? Right. So
we're speaking totally different languages.
Yeah. We're speaking different languages. Yeah. Which is unfortunate because they're trying to do their best, but also it's like the saying says, if you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And so dealing with functional medicine has kind of been more of my sweet spot now.
That's great. And I think a good lesson for anyone of like, you need to be your own health advocate, because there's a lot that is misinformed still today, just as you're saying. So doing that research.
Yeah. I mean, Mike's really been, honestly, I always tell him, I'm like, document everything. I mean, it's just maybe the content creator in me, because I'm like, just for yourself, like a journal, because I feel like Mike could literally write a book one day about like how much he's learned being his own advocate. Like, people don't know what that's such a, like a scary road, right? Of like, you have to almost take things in your own hands, do your own research, ask a lot of questions. The amount of time and money that Mike has spent on his health is astronomical, right? Like it's incredible, right, Mike? I mean,
yeah. There are many things that boxing brought me, incredible, incredible moments that I could never take back. But also I sit back now as 36 years old and I wonder, like, was it worth it? And I sometimes blame my dad or parents for pushing me in a sport like that. I know my son is going to be playing tennis or golf or something.
Chess.
I literally just got done.
Leaving the house.
Not leaving the house.
Not leaving the house.
But ever. It, it becomes taxing. And so I feel for people, and I tell people listening that are dealing with it, just don't give up. Like, keep pushing forward. I mean, I literally just got done last week with an ambulatory EEG exam, which is like they put this thing on your head and they map your brain waves for 3 days straight, and you're stuck on this. And I like broke down crying because it was just one of those things where I was like, I'm so worried about this concussion stuff. I'm so worried that I'm still getting headaches and eye issues. And like, and it was just like one of those moments where I broke down, but then the next day I was like, all right, like you got this, you know? So I tell that, and I try to be more vulnerable now because I never was before, so that people at least can, who are going through rough shit, can be like, all right, no, I can do this. Like, I need to be my own health advocate, but, and I can get through these tough days.
Yeah. That's really important message.
Yeah. It takes a lot of courage, right? It's easy to feel good when you're like, of course it's easy to be healthy. And when you feel good, like that's when it's easy. It's like, oh, it's great feeling good. But when you don't feel well, that's when it's like, are you willing to keep going? That's yeah.
And it's really hard to make those lifestyle changes. It's, even though you might not be feeling well, the idea of that change sounds awful. Like for a lot of people to think about having to go gluten-free, dairy-free, all of these things that in their life that they have to change. But then when you realize how much better you can potentially feel from making those changes physically, mentally, it's huge.
Yeah. And I think that, I'm not just saying this because I'm on the show, but I think that diet is like the cornerstone first place people should look, right?
Yeah.
That's what I found. Like I was searching so many different places before I finally got to diet, and how the wrong diet can exacerbate all these other symptoms. So
what was your diet like when you were fighting?
Well, I kind of, when I was young, I was eating whatever. Like you had to make weight for sure. So it's one of those sports where you had to cut weight very fast, a lot of it water weight. And I would say I was eating like healthy, but a ton of gluten, a lot of dairy. Like after training sessions, I would eat like huge sandwiches with a bunch of gluten, bunch of pasta. It was always that, like you heard before marathons and big events, like you'd want to eat a bunch of pasta. And little did I know, for me personally, it was just like tearing me apart. Right? I would be so sluggish, didn't know why. But I also was young enough, you know, in my 20s or especially early 20s, where I could still eat that and perform and be fine, right? And it caught up to me later once I turned 30 and, you know, my early 30s.
I'm so excited to announce that we have launched two new superfood cereal flavors, chocolate almond and cinnamon raisin almond. Our cereal is intentionally crafted with whole food ingredients you can see and taste, like sorghum, oats, chia, and quinoa. Each spoonful of our superfood cereal combines crunchy ancient grain flakes with delicious granola clusters for irresistible taste and texture. Plus, they are an excellent source of vitamin D, a good source of fiber, and have over 30 grams of whole grains per serving. You can find these new flavors along with our existing flavors, honey peanut butter and vanilla blueberry almond, at your local Whole Foods and, as always, on purelyelizabeth.com.
So Angie, for you, let's talk about your early CBD experience and kind of what you were going through mentally and what that looked like.
Yeah, I feel like it's interesting. I feel like physically I didn't have a lot of the things that Mike was going through, but I feel like mentally I've always kind of really struggled with anxiety and a racing brain and trying to figure out how to manage that and work with that and leverage that. And so for me, when I was introduced to it, to me, it was like, hey, is this an option instead of being on anxiety meds? Is this an option that can be healthy with no side effects? And so I really liked it for that. And then as a woman, I think, especially for the women listening, I think there's not this discussion around other options other than Vital or these heavy prescriptions in order to alleviate, I should say, or bring down the pain of period cramps. And so that's when I really started to, I wouldn't say overdose on CBD because you can't overdose on it. There's zero toxicity, but that's when I would start to kind of match it with my cycle and say, okay, before my period, am I taking a lot more of this to see if it helps with the period pain? So I would say those are the two pain points that I've really utilized CBD for, are anxiety. Like last night I took it when I was feeling anxious, and within, I would say 10, 20 minutes, I'm feeling a difference. And then I'm using it topically and the tinctures for period cramps. And so yeah, that's how I started to use it and really, really loved it. But yeah, I think for me, I'm so big right now, the season of life I'm in, I feel like I'm really big on central nervous system. That's something I need to work on adulting is so fun. It's the best. So CBD is really in alignment with that, you know, because I think it's like, yes, you are what you eat, but then level two is you are what you assimilate, right? Which like sucks to hear because you're like, really, come on, you know, but like if you're eating the healthy food in a stress state and your cortisol is super high, it's like, okay, how is that food being digested? Cause we all know the story of like, we went to Europe. Well, food in Europe's cleaner, obviously, but you're on vacation, you're eating a little bit more lax, but you're in an environment that's grounded with people you love and the food is digesting better. You didn't feel as bad as you are in a rush state, work, life, craziness. So that's something I've been really trying to work on now too, is like, how do we pair CBD with this focus on the central nervous system regulation with eating well, and how can those three all dance together? So you have the supplementation, the management of the stress and a proper diet. And I think that really is the secret to health for a lot of people.
So what are you finding are some of those ways in which you're trying to calm down your nervous system?
I just punch a wall.
Yeah, that works.
I just punch a wall. No, I was joking with my fiance.
Top 10 list to feel better.
Every woman knows, like those few days before your period, I always joke that like, I want to go to one of those rage houses, you know, like, yeah. So I'm in a safe space, right? And I just take a hammer and just like hit things. But yeah, you know, I got introduced to breath work. I really, really like breath work.
What kind of breath work are you doing?
I feel like I'm not good at it, but I'm trying. I have a friend, he actually comes over and does private sessions and it's awesome. It's been really, really helpful. I don't know what kind we're doing. We're not doing like Wim Hof. It's not the energizing one. I would say it's the calming one. So I like breath work. I think really focusing on sleep. I like, obviously exercise is fantastic for stress. I think a lot of stress management isn't like sexy, fun things. I think it's just being honest with yourself about how you're talking to yourself, what you need to do, what you need to not do, what you need to take off your plate, what you need to organize, what you need to, you know, I think it's a lot of those things. And so, yeah, I think breathing is great. Grounding outside. I've been trying to meditate more. I would say only make it like 5-10 minutes.
But that's better.
That's better than nothing. Acupuncture. Oh, I forgot that. I've been going weekly to acupuncture and I love acupuncture for the parasympathetic. It's so fantastic. Really, really works well because you're in this room then for 30 minutes, they leave you alone, they put the needles in and you just kind of like blast off to the 8D or something. So
that reminds me, I need to go back to acupuncture. Thank you for that reminder.
Yeah, no, I think it's fantastic. I used to be kind of like, is this real? Does this work?
Yeah.
And then I decided to do it consistently. And it's not only great for obviously hormones, but it's fantastic for your parasympathetic because Mike knows about this. I mean, obviously he was a fighter. This conversation around the fight or flight is so fascinating to me because it's like, I know people who they're not obsessed with biohacks. They don't eat as well. They're kind of just like living life, but they have, I would say, regulated nervous systems and they're able to get away with more things. Where if I'm really stressed, but I'm doing all these biohacks and I'm eating all the, you know, freaking grass-fed beef.
Yeah.
I'm over here eating grass-fed beef and I'm like stressed. So it's like, I'm having these interesting conversations now with people that it's like, does it really come down to stress? Like, is it really come down to who is a more regulated nervous system? Who's in fight or flight? Because when you're in fight or flight, Mike knows this, you can't heal. And so much of Mike's career, right, was in literally the opposite of healing. So now he's in healing. And so I don't think you have to be a fighter to relate to this or an athlete. I think all of us, whether it's career, parenthood, whatever it is you're experiencing right now, I think a lot of us are running around in that sympathetic state. And so we're wondering why we can't heal. And it's because we're not in the right space to even heal. So that's something I've been kind of geeking out about and reading about and thinking about a lot lately.
I think you're 100% right. And it's the combination of how getting into that parasympathetic system is also connected with your gut health, right? Because that's the vicious cycle of ultimately that's what's feeding your foundation.
Yeah. No, the cortisol connection to the gut is so huge, right?
Yeah.
I feel like you become like addicted to it. Like you become addicted to the fight or flight, right? You become addicted.
Well, it feels good.
Right. It's like familiar, even though it's hurting you.
Yeah.
Well, adrenaline feels good, right? I mean, it feels good to speak on stage. It feels good to be in a ring. It's adrenaline. Adrenaline's amazing. Thank God we have adrenaline. We were given adrenaline because if we needed to run away from a bear and our, you know, save our child, if someone's coming to, we're a bear and our baby bear is, you know, like it's biological, but I don't think we were meant to be doing it when we're like driving down the street and flicking someone off in traffic because we're mad or like yelling at someone. Like we're
all day long.
We're using the adrenaline in the wrong ways now. So And your body doesn't want to be in adrenaline too long. So yeah, it feels good because it's like that tingling high, right? It's like that intermittent fasting high where you're like, ooh, I could focus. But then when you come down from it, you're like, whoa, that's not sustainable. Like that's only meant for little bursts in life. It's not meant for like every single day chronically. I think it's meant for an acute thing. So yeah, and that's where CBD to me, it's so, I feel so grateful that we share this because the number one message that I get in my DMs is, how do I work on my stress, anxiety, central nervous system? Will this help inflammation and nervous system? So that's what people are using it for.
That's what I was going to ask is like, to me, this seems like the chronic reason that most people or A, have this issue in our world today. And so is that the number one reason that you hear consumers coming to you is looking to de-stress and bring down the anxiety?
Yeah. Anxiety and sleep are our biggest pain points.
Connected also, right?
Exactly. Anxiety and sleep are by far our biggest pain points. And then a third one that we're starting to see now that we've introduced microdose THC is alcohol replacement.
Oh, yeah.
Huge movement. People that want to replace that glass of wine or two. And we're just learning there's really no health benefits to alcohol. The amount of resveratrol that you get, you know, you'd need to get from drinking wine. It's right. It's too small. So yeah, that's become quickly our third one.
So let's talk through a little bit about the differences, just to clear up any confusion that exists between CBD and THC, and kind of start a little bit with that foundation. Like what happens in the body? The difference between CBD and THC?
Yeah. So all mammals, that's why we actually have dog treats as well with CBD that helps dogs calm down. But all mammals have an endocannabinoid system. We've known that for years. And so what CBD does is it, and different cannabinoids in the plant, there's CBG, CBN, all of them have different purposes, but they attach beautifully to these receptors that we have, these CB1, CB2 receptors that are already in the body. And the endocannabinoid system manages so many things in the body, mostly your central nervous system, your gut. There's so many different things that it impacts, right? So, but CBD, to get more clear on that, and CBN, CBG, a lot of the cannabinoids that start with C are non-psychoactive, which basically means it will not get you high. So everything that in Soul CBD's product lineup is zero THC. The sister brand that we created called Out of Office has THC in it.
Great name, by the way.
Thank you so much. Yeah, my girlfriend actually came up with it. I was shocked that it wasn't trademarked in that category. So yeah, we love it. We're having fun with it. So Out of Office has THC in it, which is psychoactive. And so both are found in the hemp plant. We derive all of our products from organic hemp. It's just that hemp is very high in CBD and lower in THC and Delta 9, Delta 8, some of the other cannabinoids that are psychoactive. So it's just important when you're shopping these products that if you don't want THC, that you make sure you find a reputable brand. They show their third-party lab verifications on the site, and you know that there's no THC in there if that's what you don't want. The THC side, I think, is incredible too for adults, because while CBD definitely will help with inflammation and calming down your nervous system, THC has much more of that, like, obviously psychoactive and immediate efficacy. You can feel it more. It's a little bit more of a punch. So for a lot of people with these microdose gummies, it's not so much that they're so high that they don't know where they are, right? And they're on another planet, but it's enough that they can kind of take the edge off for whatever it is they need, right? And that was the pain point that we felt like we wanted to solve in the marketplace. So often you're going to a shady gas station or a dispensary, or your buddy Joe's got really good weed. And like, next thing you know, you're so high because you don't know the dosage, you don't know how much of the gummy you should eat. And we were like, no, forget that. Like, there's so many adults that like have stuff to do. Like I need to like get on with my day, but I still want to feel that relaxed feeling, or I still want to sleep, or I still want to watch my kids or whatever it is. And so the microdose is really nice in that, so that it's like has your desired dosage and you can work your way up and not once again get so high that you order $200 worth of Chipotle on Postmates, which I may or may not have done.
So your THC, you are selling on your website, right? And how do you do that?
People go and pick it up at Mike's house, every single customer.
Yeah.
You got to go to this dude named Joe's basement. It's in Florida.
Yeah, you just order online. Joe's cool. Don't worry
about
it.
He's in Daytona.
Yeah, I mean, that's the main question we get too. So what's interesting is, since it's hemp derived and it's under a certain THC limit, we can ship our product to all 50 states 100% legally. And most people don't realize this. So any state that you're in, it can come to your door, like you're buying, you know, vitamins or dog food or whatever it is, and it's 100% legal. And simply because it's derived from hemp versus the marijuana plant. And also the amount of THC in it is low enough that it is not federally illegal.
Gross.
Mm. Yeah.
So some of your other items on your site, some of your other products that you guys have, I know have been some collaborations, it looks like, with some doctors. Talk a little bit about that and how you thought about having these like functional benefits that you're offering as well.
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking about Gut Hero today. It's helped me so much. I'm focusing on my gut health right now, but we partnered with Dr. Jess. She has a really big, incredible, incredible following on Instagram. If you guys want to go just like geek out for a few hours and watch all of her tips, she's a phenomenal functional doctor that we partnered with, who we really trusted, who knew her stuff. And we felt like we wanted to bring somebody in to consult us on each of the ingredients, in addition to the CBD that's inside of Gut Hero, Hormone Hero, and Thyroid Hero. And yeah, we had a lot of people from our customer base that said, hey, I'm already loving what you have, but I really want to optimize my gut, my thyroid, or my hormones. And so that's our Hero line. And it's been fantastic. I take Thyroid Hero and Gut Hero almost every single day. After every meal, I'm taking Gut Hero right now. And it's, I mean, I think they're three of our most potent products that we have. I mean, they're fantastic. So yeah, we partnered with Jess on that, and she's been fantastic. So
what are you hearing from customers? What's next? Are you going to get into mushrooms?
We're going to get into just MDMA gummies. And we're going to have $1 billion brand by Wednesday. But don't tell anyone, okay? We're just like a little bit. We're just going to like sprinkle a little bit. I mean, it is funny because I just got the DM again this morning. Would you guys come out with mushrooms, you know, psilocybin? And I was like, we're already dealing with like legal stuff sometimes, you know, unfortunately, yeah, totally. Which is so silly in 2024 with CBD. But I don't know if Mike and I would ever get into selling microdose psilocybin. But that's obviously another thing that's been very, very helpful for people and huge fan of. But yeah, I mean, Out of Office obviously just launched, and it was fantastic, the launch. I was actually surprised. I mean, I knew it would do well, but I think we were both surprised how well, how many people are like, give me the microdose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have a few ideas up our sleeve, but yeah, Mike, what can we share? It's coming next.
Yeah. Well, one thing we definitely do a lot of, and it's kind of the nice about being a direct consumer company, is that we ask our audience in post-purchase surveys and everything. So we collect a ton of data on what they want. And we've seen everything from like healthy weight loss, which is actually something that Soul is coming out with, that we partner with some doctors and some PhDs on. And we're excited about that as well. But on the Out of Office side, increasing the THC is something that we've seen a ton of demand for. And to be honest, I was surprised as well. So we started with a 1.5 milligram of THC gummy, and we now launched a 3 milligram, and people are wanting even a 5 milligram. So we're finding that, you know, people are kind of wanting more and more of that THC. And that's something, to be honest, since we started the brand the first 4 years, zero THC, that we didn't expect. But Out of Office has kind of been a fun little like sister project that started taking off.
That's so fun. And 1.5 is just the perfect amount for me. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's my sweet spot.
Same. Yeah. I'm a lightweight.
Yeah, totally.
And then you can always take two of those if you really wanted totally. To, you know, so.
So as you guys have been growing the business, and now Mike with your new little one aboard, I'm curious to hear how you show up as the best version of yourself and like juggle everything that you've got going on. Because it's not about balance, but it's just about how do you prioritize and kind of juggle it all.
Yeah, I think especially now having a kid, that it becomes tough. I learned this from Angie a lot. Like Angie brings a lot of like levity and joy, and she's our chief fun officer. And so I feel like I come into meetings like very serious, and it's about the numbers and everything. So I'm trying to be a little more of that. I think that's kind of how I balance things. It's like, even when I was fighting, when I was having fun, I performed the best always. I never went into the ring like mean mugging and like Mike Tyson style. That wasn't my style. I was smiling, having fun. So I try to bring that into work too, or being a father, whatever it is, anytime that I can like have fun and be loose, I'm in flow state. I perform better. So,
and do you just naturally, are you naturally in that state, or do you need to like do something to get yourself there? Have a couple of gummies.
I feel like Angie's naturally in that state. I wish I was naturally in that state. I do a few things that really, really help me. I kind of like fake it till I make it, but music is a massive thing for me, and comedies is huge for me. So, you know, even during my really rough autoimmune days, I would watch comedies, you know, Step Brothers or stupid Will Ferrell comedies. I was at my lowest moment of just to kind of get me in that mode. And so if I'm having a rough day, like I'll hop on YouTube real quick and watch like something stupid just to kind of like get that going, or I'll listen to music, or like run outside real quick and just like get those endorphins going. So I definitely have to force myself to do that. I'm naturally someone that wakes up in a kind of a down mood, and maybe that's concussions. Who knows? Maybe that's just how I am, but I have to warm up into it. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I love the comedy warm up.
Yeah.
How about you, Andrew?
Yeah, I would say, I guess what Mike said, I think a fallacy is people think I'm in it all the time. I'm definitely not. I think silly, funny people are definitely experiencing also the other side of the spectrum in order to understand humor, I think. So I think that's something that but it is a superpower that I have. So when I'm not in it, I try to remind myself, like, you have this ability to do this, like, you know how to get there. And so I kind of, like Mike said, well, I kind of like fake it until my brain is like, yes, you get to like choose joy today. Like, you get to choose joy. Cause I do think there are some moments. I used to think that was kind of cheesy when people would say that. And obviously when it comes to like clinical depression and things like that, that's very dismissing to say to someone who's experiencing that. But if it's someone who's experiencing like low, like high functioning of the blues, I would say we can choose joy more than we think. Absolutely. I do believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do believe that. I think that there's times where I've been in the worst mood ever. And I'm like, well, I'm already down. The only choice I have is to like laugh at this. The only choice I have is to realize that this isn't that serious. Like, this isn't that serious. Like, I'm going to die one day. Like, what are we even doing? You know what I mean? We're on this thing called Zoom. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? You know, I always joke my audience. I'm like, quick question. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, just a small question for everyone out there. What are we doing? You know? And so I always say, like, we're like these cucumbers rolling around this ball, but we have like all these problems and all these things. And so I'm trying my best to like not take shit too seriously, like take the shit seriously that I need to, but then also not to put too much pressure on myself. Cause like Mike said, I feel like Mike also like reminded me of this. Whenever I do get like really tense with things, it actually makes things worse. And so I'm noticing it backfires. So I do think we're in like a play deficit as adults as well. When we were children, we played a lot, right? We were painting, we were coloring, you were running, you were playing tag with your guy friends or girlfriends outside. You were playing football, you were playing sports, you were engaging in play. And play is so important for the brain. There's actually clinical studies on this with, you know, the power of play. And that's actually a fantastic book that I was just listening to on Audible. And so if you can infuse that into your life as an adult, I think it's such a game changer in your productivity. Like, they literally correlate it to being more successful in your work, in your relationships, and everything. Like, even relationships, we forget to play. Like, we forget to go have fun together, right? And they get so serious, and all we're doing now is like responsibilities and fighting. And it's like, when's the last time you guys just like went and like, just did something crazy and fun. Like, you just had fun. And so I think that, like, I've been thinking about that lately now in my 30s, like, how many of my friends or people in my audience will tell me, I don't know how to have fun. Like, I don't know how to play and use that part of my brain. And I think that's also causing this like deficit in creativity and stuff. So yeah, I think if there's something you can do today to increase that, that's such a superpower.
I love that. All right. Well, on that note, we are going to finish it up with some rapid fire Q&A. Three things that you're currently loving. Could be show, product, anything.
Mike, Luca has to be one of them. He's actually downstairs right now. He's actually over in my house right now. Oh. My mom. Yeah. So I can hear him cooing in the back. He's like, ooh, ooh.
Oh.
He's like a little baby owl. Three things I'm loving. One, Luca, because he's so cute. It's really fun to be an aunt. I'm really into, God, I'm such a loser. I'm into hot baths right now. Like, baths are in. Cold plunging out. Hot baths in. And all the girls posting cold plunging, I'm like, I'm in a steaming hot bath with our CBD bath bomb. You know, like keeping my body temperature. Why are you laughing? I'm being serious.
I know.
He knows. There's nothing I'd rather do on a Friday night than like take a hot bath alone. Just like get away from the world. So hot baths. I'm really into lymphatic stuff right now. I geek out on that. So I have my little mini trampoline right there that I jump on to wake myself up before calls and whatnot. So moving the lymphatic system and facial lymphatic sculpting, gua sha. I'm like geeking out on that right now. So that's something else I'm loving right now. Yeah.
Mike, how about you?
All right. Three things I'm loving right now. I'm loving Luca. That's obviously the number one. I'm loving pickleball.
Nice.
And the third thing I'm loving is surfing. I live in Texas.
But you're so. An
Austin. Yeah, I know.
He goes Trust on the me. River.
No, I try to get as many surf trips as possible in throughout the year. I was in El Salvador earlier this year. Absolutely loved it. So yeah, those three things are top of my list right now. Hot baths might be like number four. We'll see. All right.
Nice. Favorite words to live by?
Ooh.
One of my favorite quotes, and along with stoicism, and Ryan Holiday is an author that I follow that talks about this all the time, but it's called Amor Fati, and it means the love of one's fate. And especially dealing with like health and whatnot, like I love Amor Fati because it's like figuring out ways to love the situation that you're in because you're in it. So yeah, Amor Fati.
Wow. I was thinking of I was thinking of like some ridiculous quote that was not as deep and profound as Amor Fati. But one quote I like that's like, in all seriousness, I like the quote. I have it in my bathroom. What are you waiting for? I just think it's like such a cool question to ask yourself. It's weird that it's in my bathroom, in my toilet room, you know?
It's like, yeah, it's like where you
or how is it in your bathroom?
You're like, what am I waiting for? Like my digestive system?
Yeah, is it like if you're constipated? Like, what do you mean?
I know, I was thinking that the other day. I was like, why is this in my like bathroom? This is such a weird place to put this. But I've always loved that quote. I think it's really a reminder of, I think a lot of times when we're scared to take the chance or do the thing or whatever that is, the hobby, the career, the relationship, whatever, like, what are you waiting for? Like, so I've always loved that quote. I think it's really powerful.
Love that. Mm-hmm. Favorite book or podcast for growth?
Mm. I'm pulling up my Audible right now because I'm on an Audible kick right now.
I'm loving Joe Dispenza right now. I don't know if people are familiar with him, but I'm going to a week-long meditation.
Oh, so cool.
Treat on Sunday with Dispenza and a bunch of people, and I'm excited but also nervous because I'm going to have to meditate for a week, like intense, like hours and hours.
That's going to be an amazing experience.
I hope so. I really hope so. I'm very optimistic.
I can't imagine anybody comes back from that and like, that was the worst experience ever.
No, people, I have friends who have gone and they're like life changing, unbelievable, right? It's just a little intimidating when like I can barely get through like 10, 15 minutes of getting right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So his book, he has one in particular called You Are the Placebo that I think is just like one of my favorites.
God, I have so many. I'm looking at my Audible right now and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of different weird topics on here. This is so funny. I have some ADD books. This one called Dirty Laundry. It's about how someone... it's for my partner to actually listen to, but I'm listening to it first myself to live with someone who has ADD. So he's currently listening to that. Dose of Hope by Dr. Danny Engel about the therapeutic benefits of MDMA. Fascinating. Listening to that right now. I'm listening to, I know the title of this is a little controversial, but I think that this doctor is onto something and it's great. It's by Dr. Laura Schlesinger. This is under the relationship, umbrella. I'm trying to work on that right now. The proper care and feeding of husbands. I know it sounds funny, but it's about how men's brains work. Mike, don't listen to this right now. How men's brains work, you know, because they're different. And, you know, so like, how do they think? And so trying to be a better partner, I need to understand the male species. So I'm studying the male species. I have found you guys are pretty simple and I'm making this way more, and it's a 4-hour long book. It's fantastic though. I'm going to be honest. It's really great. She's got some old school stuff. And then one by Annie Downs, it's called Chase the Fun. And it's basically about like the next choice, the next decision, whatever you do in life, like what if you chase the fun? What if you chased fun? So yeah, I've got so many different ones here. How funny that they're all on such different topics of life, brain health, ADD. We've got therapeutic medicine. We've got, you know, relationship, marriage stuff. So, and then I have Kevin Hart, monsters and how to tame them. I love Kevin Hart. And I think he's not only funny, but he's got some good motivational stuff. So I'm listening to his book. So
well, those are some great tips.
Well, if you're on Audible, you can get through like four books in, you know, a month or two. You just put them on 2X.
All right. Well, lastly, what is your number one non-negotiable to thrive on your wellness journey?
Mine's something that Mike despises doing, but it is the greatest joy of my life. And that's walking outside.
Why do you despise walking?
You didn't want to go on walks.
I don't want to go on walks. Like, this is
too slow. He's like, you want to go on a run instead?
He's always like, where are you going?
I'm like, I feel like we grew up in Chicago and like spending time there. I'm like, when I go on walks, I'm walking somewhere. I'm walking to something. But like this idea of just going on a walk to go on a walk, I don't like.
Good for you though. It's literally proven to like be one of the healthiest things. You gotta do it.
For sure.
Yeah. Definitely getting outside in the morning. I know like Huberman talks about this all the time, but I don't go on walks. I literally just sit outside and I take in the sun and like maybe I'll be on my phone a little bit, but it's like immediately is when I wake up trying to get outside. I've noticed definite changes in like dopamine the rest of the day. But yeah, unless I'm like in a really cool city, like I don't want to go on a walk.
So get outside first thing in the morning, no walk.
Zero steps. Like make sure your step counter is zero.
What's your step count?
My like, step count of the day, zero.
It's like six. It's like, yeah.
Mine's like 20,000. I try to hit 15,000 steps a day.
That's hard. Good.
Listen,
for you.
Yeah. I'm in it to win it. Okay. Yeah. I gotta be 98 years old, still looking and feeling good, you know? So I saw my neighbor the other day. She walked down the street. I swear this woman, she looked like she was 98 years old. I'm not even kidding you guys. Right. And I felt like she just popped out of a bush. So I feel like this was like an omen, right? She walks over to me and she like, you could tell, I don't know if she was like losing her memory a little bit. It was kind of like sad, but beautiful. And she looked at me and she looked great though. Like I found out she was in her 90s and she looked like she still had this like vitality to her. And I said, how long have you walked today? And she said, I walked 20 miles today.
Oh my God.
And I said, how often do you do that? She's like, oh, a few times a week. I live like the neighborhood way, way over there. And I remember thinking like, she was like, yeah, the secret is just keep moving. Like you just got to keep moving. Wow. And I remember thinking like, you just got to keep moving, you know? So.
Sorry, Mike.
I know. I was like, I wish my brother would take this advice right now from this older, sweet woman. But it's so true, right? Like she's about to be 100 and she's telling you that the secret is like, you got to keep moving. I think that means both. I think it means your body and your mind. Like you got to stay moving. You can't like people who retire. That's not good. You know, you got to keep
moving. You need the purpose.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's what she meant, but I think it's what she meant is to keep moving. So
love it. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the podcast. In closing, where can everybody find you guys and Soul?
Yeah, you guys can go to getsoul.com on Instagram at get.soul and then at official Mike Lee at Angie Lee Show on Instagram. And yeah, send us any DMs, any questions you have on products, what you should use, what you should take, and we're happy to help.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for joining me on Live Purely with Elizabeth. I hope you feel inspired to thrive on your wellness journey. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to rate, subscribe, and review. You can follow us on Instagram at purely_Elizabeth to catch up on all the latest. See you next Wednesday on the podcast.